Come on. It's great to be here today. Man, it is just, honestly, it's such a privilege and it's such an honor to be right here week after week with just the greatest people on the planet. And I love this church. Thank you, bro. Love the work that God is doing here. I'm so thankful. Honestly, never taking a Sunday for granted, man. So grateful for what God has called us to as a church, what God has called us to as a team, what God has called us to reach this region. And I love just even the being able to minister and speak the last couple weeks on what it looks like to go home. And I'm going to do this more often, man. I just think we need to preach on heaven more and just speak on heaven. Like, it should be our language, man. We should be talking about heaven. We should be talking about going home. We should be looking at what it means to go home. And just, I think that should be more of a topic of conversation of heaven and what it looks like. And that excitement that surrounds the idea of going home. And as you know, man, we talked about what it looked like to we get so consumed with the horizontal that we forget about the vertical and know that the horizontal is a blink. The horizontal is just a breath. It's just a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. That's everything you see in the horizontal in our life. If you hit 80, you're on overtime, baby. Here we go. But what's it look like to understand where's our mindset when it comes to the vertical? Where's our mindset when it comes to the eternal? Where's our mindset when it comes to the forever? Man, it's hard to try to define forever. Like, I'm 51, and we look at this and say, man, 51 seems, it's a long time. Like, I don't even remember when I was born. That was funny. And then you try to wrap around, like, forever. Now, like, what are you going to do forever? You know, like what? Yeah, unfortunately, there's the big lie of, well, heaven's just going to be boring, so I'm just going to party in hell. And that would go around. And when the enemy starts lessening heaven, he can win in that sense of, well, heaven's just going to be boring, and I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to float around on fluffy clouds, and it's just going to be, we're going to do that forever? Are you serious? That's my eternity, like fluffy clouds and fat babies with wings, and this is what it's going to be like? Absolutely not. So what happens when we go into a series like this? And I'm excited to close today the series. Next week is Christmas service, which I'm pumped about. And we come to a place to look at this and just trying to get into a couple questions. And we're going to answer the question, are we married in heaven? And this can be a great answer for some, and it can be a bummer answer for some. And you're thinking, well, which side of the fence is that? Well, let me just show all the cards, and then we'll talk about it and define it and go into it. Well, the Bible says that we are not going to be married in heaven. And if you're rejoicing right now and you're married, don't. Just don't. Don't rejoice. Don't say, oh, the best part of heaven is I won't be married. Don't say that. Like, don't be excited. Don't raise your hand right now going, this is the best news. I'm so glad. Honey, we came to church today. I'm not going to be married to you forever. This is amazing. Like, it's true, but it's just, don't go home. You're sleeping on the couch for Christmas, dude. What is wrong with you, man? Come on. But we do, we come to a place to see biblically what it means of what we're going to be doing in heaven. And one of the big questions truly is, are we going to be married in heaven? And Renee and I have a great marriage, man. I've been married for 27 years. I've known this amazing woman for 30 years. And honestly, I get, when I studied this years and years ago, and I really came to the understanding, I'm not going to be married to my wife in heaven. Like, I'm bummed about that. Like, we could get bummed. When you walk in a great relationship, you're like, you mean, honestly, our marriage, this is the best it gets for our actual marriage. Like, we can't get better in heaven in our marriage as a husband and a wife. Like, this is the best it gets. And the idea is, yeah, that's why you should make marriage so good and make it so special and make it so right, because this is the best your marriage is going to ever be, because you're not married in heaven. We're going to look at this and define this. And man, that when I heard this years ago and I studied this years ago and I got into it for myself and I realized, man, marriage is for the here and now. Marriage is until death do us part and not continuing. And the idea is this, is You will know people in heaven. I will know Renee. Renee and I will have great relationship as brother and sister in Christ in heaven. And the reality is this, is even in Renee and I knowing one another here on the earth, we walk in this great marriage. But for an eternity, our relationship in heaven will be so much better than our relationship here now on the earth. As good as it is, right? You walk into place to realize in heaven is going to be that much better. It's going to be the perfect relationship between me and Renee, not in a marital relationship, but in a brother and sister in Christ relationship, that it's going to be laughter and it's going to be fun and it's going to be amazing. And that will be, I will know her in heaven and we will have this amazing friendship and relationship better than it is now. And I equate this kind of like to a first class ticket on a plane. Right, if you fly, and I think I was in first class once in my life, like one time. I'm a coach kind of dude, like really. And you come to a place where I think I was in first class once, and in first class, you know how it is. You walk past them all going to the back of the plane, like you guys are in coach, because they get on first. They have the big baggage, the big overhead. They've got their own stewardess. They've got their own bathroom. They've got more leg room. Like every room's an exit aisle, right? It's just unbelievable. You're stretching out. The food in first class is absolutely incredible. And then you get to coach, like you walk by all of this in sin. Because you're groveling over everything that they have, and you walk back to the back of the plane, where all of a sudden, man, the seats shrink and they're tight, and the food is peanuts. If you really juice up the stewardess, you might get some extra pretzels or something, and you're excited about that. And then you walk in a place where everyone has to share a bathroom, and you're just like, you're like in coach, and you're like, man, get me off this plane. The sooner the better. And first class is lounging, man. They've got it made in first class. Guess what? When you're in first class, you're not looking back to coach, go, man, I wish I was back there. I miss so much of what happens in coach. Like, it's the same thing when we get to heaven. Like, this is coach. And in marriage, even in your best marriage, man, it's just coach. Even in your greatest kids that you love and adore, that you raise, it's still just coach mentality. And when we get to heaven, man, that is first class. And this is the deal. When you understand, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be in any sense of regret. I'm not going to miss my marriage. I'm not going to miss anything about here on this fallen earth, because I've gone to a place called first class. And when I'm in first class, I'm not concerned one inch. And I don't miss the tight seats. I don't miss the service. I don't miss everyone using the same bathroom. I don't. Like, when you understand, even in the reality and the truth, but I love my marriage. Yeah, but your marriage is coach compared to what you and your relationship with the people that you know are going to be when you get to heaven. And when we know that, there's a lot that we know about heaven, and there's a lot more that we don't know about heaven. And I love that about it. It's like, man, there's so much that we can anticipate that I look forward to going home and what that might look like when we get home and understand that when truly this is temporary, vertical, looking forward to going home. What does God have for us? And in that which we know, there's so much more that we don't know, but we can be so excited because we know that the Creator of the universe has set it up. We know that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. And in that, we know it's going to be amazing and excellent. But today, let's cover things that we will know about our eternal home. Come on, Matthew looks at this. Matthew 22. Father, bless this word. Thank you for everyone in this house. Father, I'm excited that everyone who is here today, everyone watching online, that this would be their eternal destiny. God, that they would know you and love you and honor you and walk in a manner worthy of you. That God, every person who hears my voice today would understand the necessity of what it is to be born again, the necessity of what it is to know you as Lord and Savior, so that we have this eternal destiny to be home with you forever. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Come on, look at this. Matthew 22, verse 23 says this. And on that day, some Sadducees, the Sadducees were the ones who say there is no resurrections. They were sad, you see. A game, 11 o'clock, A game. Come on. There are those who say there is no resurrection. They came to Jesus and questioned him, asking, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother is next of kin, shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. This is a true story. There were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brothers, and also the second and the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. So in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had married her. So you get this picture, right? And you understand, even today, like if you walk in a place to get married and the unfortunate of a release from that marriage, whether it be through adultery, whether it be through death, listen, our contract goes until death do us part. That's what the contract says. Until death, our vows are until death do us part. That's our vows. And you come to this place to realize, man, if I have a spouse and this spouse dies and I remarry, or if the unfortunate of adultery takes place and I divorce and then we remarry and then they get remarried and then all of a sudden, like, if I'm supposed to be married in heaven, which one do I get to live with forever? It's a very real question, right? It's a really trying to understand the reality of eternity, because sometimes marriage hasn't been great for some. And sometimes marriage has been great for some. And God has set it up to be 100% successful if you do it his way. But what does that look like forever? Come on, I want you to see Romans 7 says this. I want you to see that marriage truly is a contract here while we're on the earth. Romans 7, 2. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. Marriage is a contract for the here and now on the horizontal, right? But if her husband dies, she's released from the law concerning the husband. Verse 3 and 4 go into that she has the license to be able to remarry. So you see where the Sadducees bring this up, and this is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. This is so important that it's written down three times, once in each gospel, and it comes to this place. I want you to see this. This is what Jesus says. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her. But Jesus answered, verse 29, and said to them, you are mistaken and not understanding the scripture, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And you can find this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where it defines the angels in heaven never marry. Angels are not married. So you come to a place to begin to break this down going, okay, when you understand the depth of marriage, and in my pre-marriage coaching and even marriage coaching, and you'll hear it coming up, we're going to do a marriage series coming up probably January going into February. Renee's going to be speaking in this. We're going to do some roundtable discussions. I'm excited about this marriage series. It's going to be a little bit different, and I'm pumped about it. But in it, we generally hear this true statement, according to Ephesians 5, that marriage is bigger than you. It's not about you. God set up marriage in the very beginning in creation, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, God sets up marriage, and then you see it all through scripture. Marriage is a huge deal for us while we're on the earth. God Almighty made it a big deal, but I love where Ephesians 5 says this, the mystery is this, that I'm speaking of Christ in the church. When you see a husband and a wife, one of the principal reasons of marriage is that it is a picture of Christ in the church. Isn't it amazing that God could have picked any picture at all to represent Christ in the church, and he picked a husband and a wife? Another huge, huge reason for marriage is to be fruitful and multiply, to be able to fill the earth. Well, that's not going to be necessary in heaven. Right? When we understand Christ in the church, we're already going to be in heaven. That picture is not going to be necessary in heaven. And when you begin to break down the reality of why marriage is huge here on the earth, how amazing it is, how successful it can be if you do it God's way, and the real purposes of marriage, you begin to see it's not necessary in heaven. And some of us could be like, man, I really wanted to spend forever with my spouse. And guess what? You will. And you will be in relationship, and you will be in a friendship. Watch this. Your friendship would be better than it is right now. And that's beautiful. And it's amazing. So we look at this, and then some would say, okay, truly, they asked this real question, are animals in heaven? Like, will my dogs go to heaven? And we know that there, Jesus comes back on a white horse, we're gonna be on a white horse behind him. We know that there's animals in heaven. We know the lion lays down with the lamb. The lion, that's like the big cats. The big cats are going to heaven. Your little cats are like the devil's armpit, man. They're Satan's feet. Like, that's all, if you're a cat person, I've been in cat homes, and their urine is the worst urine on the planet. They destroy everything. It's like Satan's armpit. That's cat people. But anyways, dog people, I'm believing that my man Oliver is going to be in heaven. And Olivia's dog Zola we're working on Zola. So maybe Zola will be in heaven. We're working on her. But the reality is, we do know that lions lay down with lambs. We do know that there's horses. And you know what I'm juiced about? Wouldn't it be amazing if there were dinosaurs in heaven, that they were resurrected, not resurrected in that sense, but they were recreated on the new earth to walk the earth? And wouldn't that be amazing? You can have your pet little kitty cat. I'm gonna have myself a pet T-Rex, right? So you go with your kitty, I'm gonna go with T-Rex, and unfortunately they're not meat eaters in heaven, so I can't even take out your cat. But anyways, but I'm speaking in fun, but the reality is, why can't there be dinosaurs on the new earth? It's perfect conditions. The reason we don't have dinosaurs still, and there were dinosaurs, the reason we don't have dinosaurs is because the conditions changed. In perfect condition, wouldn't it be awesome to be hanging out with the dinosaurs of old? That would be amazing. Why couldn't that be? And I'm being serious. My mindset is this, like, it could be. Like, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. So we come to a place to honestly look at, what are we going to do in heaven? Like, we know that we're called to serve. We know we're going to sing and worship. And then there's this new city. There is the new heaven and the new earth. And what will that picture look like? Amen. Revelation gives us some great insight on this. And you come to a place to begin to dive into Revelation. Revelation is a wonderful prophetic book, and it's a wonderful book that you can read, and you can get lost in Revelation. You can get confused in Revelation. You can simplify Revelation, and you can understand the reality that it just simply says those who read this will be blessed. And this is, Revelation is from the Apostle John, and John was taking up into the third heaven. If you remember, there's three heavens, right? There's the heaven, the first heaven, that which we see by day. The second heaven, that's what we see by night. And then the third heaven, that what we see by faith. And the Apostle John was taken up to that third heaven where Christ is and where the throne is. And he saw this amazing picture of what was taking place in heaven. It gives us this great picture of what's happening now. But he also got a revelation about what was going to take place in the new heaven and the new earth. And gang, this is the deal, man. Honestly, I do want to set our mind towards heaven. What happens when we honestly start looking towards what's ahead and not being so concerned about what's right now? Not being so stressed and worried and allowing fear to take over our spirits, because all we have is this horizontal view. Man, I am trying to set our sights on a promised guarantee of what's ahead for you and I. And we walk in this place to understand there is so much that awaits me. And last week was great, man. One breath away. Absent from this body is to be home with Jesus, that we get to see his face and be in his presence for the start of eternity and the start of forever. That's not the new heaven and the new earth. That's the present heaven on where the throne is, on where Jesus is, where God the Father is, and where the souls of men and women who've come to this planet, men, women, and child, who come to this place to know Jesus and go home to be with him. Now watch this. Watch this. We come to a place to say, I've got so much to look forward to. And that's kind of the table I want to set for today, is we have so much to look forward to. And in this, man, I don't want us to lose sight. I don't want us to lose sight because of the here and now, which everything that you know and everything that you see physically here on this earth, on the here and now, is going to be forever drastically changed to the new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be magnificent. So come on, would you please turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and there's this picture here of what will be taking place in heaven. Man, who was at Seek Sunday night? That was unbelievable. Man, we had such a time. If you missed Seek, man, you missed it. There was such, a true presence in this house on Sunday, and there was, we started to pray for people again. There was just people in need, and we started laying hands on people and praying over people. We had a moment with our teenagers, one in particular that we were just praying for and covering. And I'll tell you what, then we came to a place to close out Seek. And I'm just saying, for me personally, man, I felt myself like it was one of the strongest, and I mean in a spiritual sense, one of the strongest releases of celebration in dance and in song and in shouting. And it wasn't in a chaotic, crazy chaos way. It wasn't that. It was very balanced, and it was very much towards heaven. And it was again, in my spirit, one of the most powerful spiritual moments of celebration, not spiritual moments, but I'm saying of true, just people had of a release of celebration at the close of Seek. It was dynamic. It was necessary. There was a release in this house, man. It was powerful. And I get to read scripture to say, we get to, honestly, I believe that is a picture, a smidge. Right? A smidge. Everything here on the earth is tainted, but yet that is a smidge of what we're going to do when we come into a place of our glorified bodies, when we come into the place, even before that, when our souls go up, that there will be this release of celebration, a release of dancing, a release of singing, a release of shouting, and it will be forever and ever and ever and ever. And I want us to see one of the things that we will be doing in heaven, and it will, please hear me, this will not be boring. Heaven isn't this thing about what are we going to do? We're going to do nothing forever. Great. No, man, we're going to be serving. The Bible says we're going to be serving him. Don't ever forget, man, God fulfills the desire of your heart. And I believe that that is forever, and that is for an eternity, that what is the desire of my heart? God knows me. He created me. And the desire of my heart, man, I'm going to be able to serve him with the desire of my heart for an eternity, which means it's never going to get old and it's never going to get boring. And what happens when John gets this picture of what's taking place in the heavens even right now? And we know that we will serve him, and we also know that we will sing, and that we will worship, and we will praise. I want you to see this. Come on. Revelation 5 says this, verse 9. And this, again, this is the Apostle John. He's been taken up to the third heaven, and the Lord has opened his eyes that he is able to get a glimpse. He's able to get a picture so that he can write it all down for us on what is taking place in the heavens. And this is a real picture. And I love this. Look at this. Verse 9, Revelation 5 says this. And they sang a new song. There's going to be singing in heaven. They sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain, talking about Jesus, purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I love this. Red, yellow, black, and white. Red, yellow, black, and white, and every color of every skin, of every tribe, of every nation, of every tongue is going to be into a place to be in absolute perfect unity, worshiping one, the Lamb who was slain, coming to this place in complete and total and perfect unity of all the nations, of all the tribes, of all the tongues, of all the people in one place, lifting up worship to God. What a beautiful picture that will be. And here you've got the Apostle John, and this is what he begins to see. Verse 10, and you have made them to be the kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. That means that the number couldn't be counted. They were innumerable amounts of people that were around the throne, and they were singing with a loud voice. Church, is it okay to get loud? Yeah. Amen. My man Cool Whip over here says, yes! And you come to a place. And I honestly, I love our worship and I love our celebration. And I don't want anyone at Believer's Chapel to be surprised when they get home to heaven, like be nervous going, oh, there's just, look at, people are bowing and people are raising their hands and people are getting loud and people are yelling. Like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that's going to be a concern when we go home. There's going to be people in absolute, complete, and total celebration based off the scripture. Watch this. Look what it says. Look what it says. And they were and saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who, I love this, we sung this even today. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blood. Look at where all of the attention, all the attention is on Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, honor, glory, and blessing. And every created thing, watch it, every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne, and look at all the attention goes to Jesus. All the attention goes to our King, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Watch this, here it is. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen, amen. And they fell down and they began to worship him. This is what is this picture of what's taking place with the soul of every man, woman, and child in heaven, of all of the angels that are in heaven. They just continually begin to worship and praise and focus and shout and dance in the presence of our King. Come on, look at this. Come on, Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 9. Again, after these things, I looked and behold. I love the word behold. It's like an announcement. Could you imagine John really getting this revelation? Could you imagine John being able to see this? What a privilege and what an honor for the Apostle John to be able to see this and to be able to understand this and pen this for us using the best that he can. Watch this. And after these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. Love the numbers. Love what's taking place. I don't know if anybody remembers the Promise Keeper events that they used to do, and it was huge. It was huge, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, it was just huge. And they would fill stadiums across the United States, fill stadiums with men. And man, the one thing that I remember, I went to a few of them, and they were great teaching and great preaching, and it was just great for men, act like men, like it was great. But to be in a stadium full of just men, singing holy, holy, holy. I remember this. It was stunning. It was stunning. And here around the throne, I mean, that just, even in that moment in the stadium, that was just full in the voices, and it was just, it was unbelievable. It was so amazing. It was moving. It was powerful. And could you imagine, that's just one stadium. Could you imagine what it's going to be when there were those who you couldn't count how many? From every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, watch this, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cried out with a loud, there it is again, they cried out, and this is expression, right? They cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Man, this is an unbelievable scene that John was able to see. This is where our soul is going. This is when I take my last breath. I get to join in this choir and begin to worship and praise and shout with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive blessing and honor and glory and come to this place to honor and glory Him face to face. How beautiful. And you see it again. In Revelation 19, I want us to get so excited to understand what is ahead for us. Man, it's not gonna be fluffy clouds and babies with little wings and be boring and we just sit around. No, it's gonna be a celebration that lasts forever. There's gonna be the privilege to serve our King. Man, when you understand Jesus put Himself on the cross, He is the Son of God. He has been forever and left that which is perfect to put Himself on a cross as the greatest King, the Almighty King, the Eternal King, and He reigns King Eternal, that you and I got to change our perspective that it is our privilege to be able to serve our King here and now. It is our privilege to be able to serve Him. It's our privilege to be able to take a knee as a knight and as a saint to say, Jesus, You are the greatest King. King Jesus, You put Yourself on a cross for me and You sacrificed Your life for Your people. You as the greatest King took the hit for me so I never have to. And in that I will serve You. The here and now as my King whom I will serve. I cannot wait to be home to see my King truly face to face and my love for Him and to express it with a crowd that you cannot count. Revelation 19. After these things, I heard something like, I love this. Again, John being in that privileged position, chosen by the Spirit of God to write this, knowing that this is accurate and true, that he comes to a place to try to give us the best description that he can, and he comes up with something like, hard to define, hard to describe what I saw, but it was something like this. Watch this, watch this, watch this. And after these things, I heard something like a loud voice with a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. And hallelujah is a shout of celebration. Hallelujah, it means to brag or to boast, or the very one that's in the spotlight is to celebrate that one, to boast on that one, to let that one shine, to brag on him. That's what hallelujah means. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Come on, watch this. Verse 5 says this, and a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And amazing that there's no second rate class. That there's no financial divide. There'll be different rewards, but there's no financial divide in a sense of our worship of our King. He says it is the small and it is the great. Who what? Watch this. And I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty pearls of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb. Here it is. Watch this. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. What is another reason why we are not married in heaven? Because there is one marriage in heaven. And watch this. Please hear me. We are the bride of Christ. I don't believe it is now. I believe it is for eternity. When you understand this, you realize, man, there is one marriage and it is heaven, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and we are the bride, and we will come to a place to be made ready for our groom. And it's beautiful and it's amazing and it's wonderful, and there's one marriage and it's us to Him. The mystery is great, and I'm speaking of, watch this, I'm speaking of Christ and the church. Isn't it amazing how Ephesians 5 comes right in to the end times of what's going to take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb? It's in that moment. He says, I'm speaking of this. The mystery is great. And I'm referencing Christ and the church. Man, if you're single in this place, can I just encourage you for just a moment with a word of caution? You're not married to Jesus now. I don't need a husband because Jesus is my husband. No, he's not. Not yet. Not yet. We need to be very careful on our silly little statements. Because the marriage supper of the Lamb hasn't taken place yet. It's after the rapture when we go home. And we come to this place to watch this. And I love it because you see where Revelation 19 is this amazing chapter of after that marriage supper of the Lamb, after 7 years of tribulation has taken place, I believe we're home for the 7 year period. And then this is when we return for the true second coming of Christ. And he comes on a white horse and you and I are behind him, and it is an amazing, amazing battle. It's incredible. But I want to turn to Revelation chapter 21, please. I want you to see this, please. And then here it is, man. This is our close, and it says this. Chapter 21, again, this is John, and he says this. Then I saw, could you imagine? I mean, I think about this, man, what it is to be one of the authors of Scripture. Jesus is the author of Scripture. But to be one that penned it out and to be the privilege of John who got the privilege to see this. And he says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Isn't it amazing that everything that you know and everything that you see physically here on this earth will no longer be? Because of sin, this earth is tainted. It's never been in its perfect form since the garden. And John says this, listen, and we know that there's water. Some would say, well, is there no more sea? He's talking about the sea that we know now. We know that there is this crystal clear water that is as a river is flowing from the throne. And this is what John says. This is amazing. And I heard, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. I love this. Watch this, church. And he will dwell among them. And he, watch this, and they shall be his people. This is the gospel. Here's the gospel right here. Watch this. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Isn't it amazing that the creator of the heavens and the earth would send his only begotten son, put himself on a cross for you and I? For there is a forever and an eternity that God Almighty wants to dwell forever with Sean Obergefell. It's amazing to me that he loves me that much, that this new heaven and this new earth that it says right here, man, that he, God, will dwell with among them, and they shall be his people and God himself. And amazing that it is his desire to spend forever and ever and ever with you. Why? Because God so loved the world. It's not that complicated, church. He loves me. I'm in relationship with him because of his son. And it is his desire to spend forever with you. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. For the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. And he who overcomes will inherit the things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Watch this. But for the cowardly, verse 8 is huge, because there's the opposite of heaven. There is the eternal place called hell, which we did communicate in this last couple weeks. It is God's desire that not one would perish. It is his desire that all would come to truth in Jesus. But there is the rejection of truth by many. And there is a rejection of Christ by many. And there is a rejection of the cross and the blood by many. And they will still yet live for an eternity. But it will be outside the presence of God, in a very real place called hell. Watch this, watch this. But for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the immoral persons, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's amazing to me. The group that leads that group is the cowardly. Church, we are not called to have a spirit of fear. We are called to be bold as a lion. We're called to never retreat. What happens when you really believe? Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. What happens when you really believe? If God is for me, no one can be against me. What happens when you really believe? It is God who will fight for me. It is God who will fight for me. There is a day that we get to spend forever with him. And John goes on, man, I got to get through this. John goes on. John goes on and he begins to define what the city will look like. It's incredible. I mean, I'm not a big world traveler by any means, man. I love going to the beach with Renee. If I'm going anywhere, man, I want to go to the beach. Because my wife likes the beach. I tried in the beginning of our marriage to go to the mountains and go skiing. That worked once. Anyways, now I'm older, I want to go to the beach. I'm good with it. But if you, I don't know all the cities of our earth. I don't know the beauty. And some would come back and say, this city was the most beautiful city I've ever seen. And they'll define the city, and it's just amazing. And I'd be like, man, I like Olean. I'm good. But then we get this picture of our forever city. And this is, I want you to see this, because this is a real picture. Verse 16. And the city, this is the new heavens and the new earth. This is the new Jerusalem. This is the city. Watch this. This is the city that's guaranteed for those who are in Christ. This is the city that we get to dwell. This is the city that we get to live. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Wow, 1,500 miles in length, 1,500 miles in width, 1,500 miles in height, and they are equal. I love this. When you try to think 1,500 miles, maybe that's across America. Part of it, anyways. You're like, a 1,500, that's not like we're talking about the world, and we're talking about every believer from the last Old Testament and New Testament, 6,000 to 8,000 years. Are we just gonna honestly fit in a city that could cover America? Like, did God make it big enough? Wait, you missed something. You're going length and width. Guess what it says? It's 1,500 miles. The city. Buildings. Some have equated that to 600 floors high. 1,500 miles up. 1,500 miles this way. 1,500 miles this way. Guess what? 1,500 miles up. This is an amazing, glorious, majestic city. And we get a glimpse of our glorified bodies as Jesus was raised in his glorified body. And in his glorified body, he ate. In his glorified body, he went through walls. And in his glorified body, he floated. Sean, how are we going to get 600 floors up? Man, if I want to go say hello to my friend, not going to be my wife, but my best friend, Renee, my sister, Renee, if she's on the 600th floor, she likes top level. If she's on the 600th floor, how do I get up there? Whoop! And I believe this. Jesus was a picture of our glorified bodies. Not like you're going to hit the button, get in the elevator, 600 floors up, like, whoop, like super speed, right? No, man. I honestly believe that we take on the body as a resurrected body, as Jesus' picture, where he ate and he talked and he laughed and he communicated and he walked through walls and then he ascended. When you walk in a place to realize this city is massive, watch what it's built up. This is amazing on what it's built up. And the measured its wall 72 yards according to the human measurements, which is also angelic measurements, and the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold. I love this. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. And jasper is this translucent, precious stone that has many colors in it. And I want you to see this. Watch this. Come on, walk with me here. Verse 19, the foundation stones. Again, the city wall, 1,500 miles high, 72 deep, like wide. This is unbelievable, right? When you look at this, 72 yards thick. This is how thick these walls are. And what are these walls made of? The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. Precious stone, biblically, is speaking of something of the highest value. The first foundation stone was jasper. Again, that's that translucent, multicolored stone. The second was sapphire. This is a kind of a deep, like a dark, almost black blue. It's a great color. The third is this chalcedony. Well, I love this. It's chalcedony, which is like another stone that has many colors to it. And the fourth was emerald, which is like a light green. The fifth was sardonyx, which is, this is a great color. It's like this white precious stone that has streaks of red through it. This is what these walls are made of. This city is majestic. It's glorious. It's magnificent. And it's a city that our God is going to build and all things become new. And the sixth was sardius, and that's a red stone. And the seventh with chrysolite, and that's like a bright yellow. That's a Steeler color. We all know God's a Steeler fan. So he's going to have Steeler colors in the great city that's going to be forever and eternal. And this is this bright, bright yellow. And the eighth is beryl, and this is this dark blue color. The ninth is topaz, and that's a green. And the tenth is chrysoprase, which is this kind of this golden green color. And I'm just trying to paint a picture here of what this looks like. And the 12th is amethyst, which is this kind of this violet purple color. And it is going to be a city that is majestic. The Bible says the streets, 1,500 miles in every direction, it's a square of pure gold, crystal clear. You think our God lacks in any way? Church, this will be our forever eternal home. This will be our forever eternal home. And then watch this. Verse 23, and the city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and the lamp is the Lamb. Isn't it amazing when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but that is a continuous forever light in the new city, in the new earth, in the new heavens, when you come to a place to realize that the brightness and the brilliance and the excellence and the illuminance of God, the Father and the Lamb will be all the light that we will ever need for an eternity, and there will be no darkness. Can I just say, I just want to say this, that I think it's time for you and I to just truly hang on, to not quit. Because honestly, even if you're young and even if you're old, you're just a breath away, that you would come to this place to know, man, that sounds so amazing. And I come to this place where I focus so much on the horizontal that I look to what it means to want to quit. But yet you are so close. You are so close to that which we have forever. Get our mind off the here and now and look to that which is ahead. And know this is what awaits for you and I. Man, when we come to a place to realize the forever, there is this city that is majestic, that is brilliant, that is beautiful, that is illuminated by the very Son of God and God Himself, that we come to this place and say, there will be no darkness. And my encouragement is to hold on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hold on to hope that that is our forever. And what we do now matters. And what we do now, it matters. July 4th, 1952, amazing story. There's this young lady named Florence Chadwick, and she was a swimmer. And she did these long distance swims in large bodies of water. And in July 4th, 1952, she wanted to break a record and go from Catalina Island and swim. Watch this, swim 21 miles to California in the waters of the ocean. Sharks, not a fan. 16 hours she swam. The whole swim was filled with such great fog. The water was cold, and literally the boats following, true story, had to shoot at sharks to keep them away from her. This is a cool chick, man. She's rugged, man. I'm like, she's just swimming with the sharks. They're shooting at the sharks to keep them off of her back as she swims in the fog and in the cold from Catalina Island, 21 miles, for 16 hours. Came to this place of complete exhaustion. And she gave up and got in the boat. She was a half mile from shore. 16 hours. 20 and a half miles of swimming. And she quit a half mile ahead. And she says, if I could have only seen the shore, it would have been enough for me to keep going. Church, if we could only get a glimpse of what's ahead for you and I, man, don't give up. Don't fall short. We're so close. Jesus could come at any moment. I believe we're so close. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Great ending to that story is 2 months later, she did it again. And she did it and finished it in 2 hours less time. So what happens when you just keep going? What happens when you come to a place to say, Jesus could come any moment? I'm not going to give up in my spirit. I'm not going to give up in my heart. But do you know Christ? The call this morning is, do you know Jesus? Have you come to a place to come to Him on His terms? And His terms is repent, believe, and surrender. His terms is never okay to be okay with sin. His terms is I came and died for sin. His terms is I love you, and I put myself on a cross for you. And I have gone to prepare a place for you. It's a glorious, marvelous, amazing place. But we only get there through repentance of sin. We only get there by calling on Jesus and Jesus alone. And we only get there understanding what it means to confess that He is Lord and that He has been raised from the dead and He sits at the right hand of the Father. And this is on you to come to a place to say, I want Jesus in my life. I surrender. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. I call out my sin to you. And I repent, and I need you, Jesus. You are the only way. And I ask that you forgive me of my sin. I confess that you are Lord. No games. No more games. I confess that you are Lord of my life. And I trust you. I trust you. Save me. In Jesus' name. Hey, can I have your attention just for a minute, please? Man, when Olivia is done singing, would you do me a huge favor? We got to clear the chairs. Would you do me a huge favor and just stack, well, if you can, stack chairs 7 high, right? Just right where they are. You don't need to move them. Just stack them where you're at, 7 high. That would be a great help to us. Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's close in a song. Amen.